Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PO Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Monday night. It's 11 p.m. Eastern Time. On Monday nights at this time, we run a radio show with a good friend of ours. His name is Devon. And Devon and I started a long time ago. He was a person who was interested in buying some of our products. We had a nice conversation that led to another nice conversation. And one thing that I learned about Devon is he has some really special ideas and thought processes for people that are in different situations. So we've been speaking about a lot of things. And lately he's been kind of intermittently doing some of our radio shows. And tonight we get a chance to catch him live. He's working on applying to law school. That's going to be part of our radio show. And the other part of the radio show is going to be working as a virtual assistant. So I'm going to say, Devon, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thank you so much, Peter, for that great introduction. And thank you, audience, for another live show of Devon's input. I want to go into first about going to law school. I plan to take the I was just mentioning to Peter before the show started, the LSAT, it stands for Law School Admissions Test. And what it represents is like a test where you have to score at least 21 or higher to pass the exam. And if you get 34, I would say a score of 34, you get a scholarship, a $10,000 scholarship. So that's what I'm looking forward to do at the end of June. I have to take the preparation courses to prepare for the LSAT. It's like a preparation tutorial where it walks you through what they're going to ask you on the actual admissions test. It's going to be passages, you know, stuff like that, you know. And right now, the way if you take the regular SAT and the regular ACT now, that stands for the American College Test, and you don't take it the way it was taken 15, 20 years ago. It's passages, it's blanks that you have to fill in the blanks and stuff like that, and the passages are kind of tough, you know, so you have to prepare yourself accordingly to take those exams. Now, what I want to mention is I want to be a prosecutor, but when I want to be a prosecutor, okay, Peter. I wanted to be a prosecutor, and what I want to discuss with you, my advisor told me that to be a prosecutor, you have to study. Or I can still be a lawyer, but after I pass the bar, the California bar exam, it'll take me 5 to 7 years to be a prosecutor. So after I'm a prosecutor, I can practice in 4 states, which would be New York, North Carolina, Wisconsin, and California. I can practice law in. Now, to take the law the law exam, which is the bar exam in California, you know, it's 2 parts to it, you know, so I would have to study hard and, you know, just focus and concentrate. You know, law school is about 4 to 5 years, and then after that you take the bar exam. And so I currently live in New York. That's all, you know, I live in New York. And I would have to, you know, plan a trip there, you know. I can drive to California, or I can just fly, or I can take a cruise there and go to California. It's a 2-part exam, like I mentioned, and I can just, you know, take the bar exam that way. So I'll be probably 50 years old before I take the bar exam, so I won't be no spring chicken, you know. I'll be an old person by the time I take the bar exam. But anyway, getting back to the fact, I want to go to law school because I always was interested and intrigued about standing up for or kind of prosecuting people for the bad that they do in life. You know, I always wanted to be a prostitute because, like I said, when I was in high school, I was bullied a lot, and I felt I was wrongly accused of certain stuff. People was accusing me my last term in high school. People accused me of some stuff about picking on people and, you know, not being a good person, which is all untrue. So, you know, my reasoning or rationale for being a prosecutor is, you know, to turn all that stuff around. I'm kind of exaggerating a little because, you know, it's high school and stuff like that, but I want to prosecute people for the wrong that they do in life, you know. So I'm taking a little bit step further, you know, to being a prosecutor, it takes a lot of hard work. You work with a team. You're not the only one who's trying to give that person jail time or give that person make the person go to prison or stuff like that. Jail time in prison, it's the same thing. But like I said, I just want to focus on going to law school right now. And the reason why I'm not in a really good place where I'm at right now, I'm standing up while I'm talking. I'm not really sitting down, so I'm in a closed place where I'm talking. But anyway, to continue about law school, I'm pretty excited about going to law school. It's something to do in the meantime, you know. I'm a home health aide. Currently during the day, I work from Monday through Friday, 9 to 1. And law school, we get a lot of stuff off my mind. You know, it's a challenging set of curriculum. You know, I'm focused on getting the best grades I can possibly get, you know. I'm working with a great advisor right now. Her name is Kay. So I'm working with a she has been very helpful in kind of guiding me and toward what I have to do to get admitted to law school. I just electronically sent over my transcript from Capella University, and you know, they looked it over, and hopefully I can get admitted. Like I said, just passing the admissions test, not the only factors they look at by going to law school. There's other factors where it's, you know, they look on your GPA, they look on your official transcript, and like I said, they look on your admissions test, obviously, as well as I'm trying to pass and score a good score, you know, because like I said, once you fail the admission test one time, you get a second opportunity. You only get two opportunities. So after, if you fail the admission test twice, then that's it. You can't go to that school no anymore. And I'm trying to go to Concord Law School, which is Purdue University Global. So in that realm of thinking, you know, I have, if I fail it the first time, I have 3 months later to take the test. And if I fail it again, then that's it. You know, I would have to go to a different law school overall, you know. And I'd rather go to a law school where it's more accommodatable and more where I don't have to cut out, I can cut out the commuting and stuff like that and traveling and stuff like that, you know. It'll really take up a lot of my time, you know. So I'm trying to pass it on their first attempt, you know. So, but anyway, law school, as you know, JF Kennedy Jr. was going to law school. He has a great tradition, a great family background of people being lawyers. I think Ted Kennedy was a lawyer. I'm not too sure if Robin and Bobby Kennedy were lawyers. So I was thinking to myself, you know, if I can accomplish what they accomplished, you know, so, you know, I'm very thrilled about, you know, going to law school and stuff like that, and I'm very excited, you know, so, you know, that's it, going to law school, you know. Okay, I'm very excited about going to law school. But also, I just want to mention that I'm being a virtual assistant now, a virtual assistant where I'm taking classes online on my phone, you know. So, you know, a couple of tests I just barely passed because what I'm doing, I'm kind of rushing through, but I'm not going to do that from now on. I took four exams. I passed three out of the four exams, and the one that I failed, you know, it's kind of my fault because I kind of rushed through. I didn't read the material. Like, I should read the material. I kind of just skimmed through it, you know. So I'm very disappointed. I thought the exam, it's supposed to be 26 exams I have to take, and they're all multiple choices. But virtual assistant is something where it's like they call it VA. It's you do it online. And let me explain a little bit more about it. It's like you assist people. Like you can have your own business being a virtual assistant. You can be self-employed. And another position you can have with virtual assistant, you can work for a company. So your duties would be like maybe it's several ways you could be a virtual assistant. You could be a creative virtual assistant. You could be a technical virtual assistant. You can write blogs. You can go into social media. You can be an executive, a virtual assistant. So it's a different type of virtual assistants. So in my practice, I want to be a virtual assistant that works for a company. I want to work because you could also be a freelancer. And work for a freelancer means you work for more than one company. You can choose how many companies you want to work for at a time. So I'm doing that at the current moment, and I'm also in the process of writing my third book. The company that I'm working with is called Expert Book Writers. I work with them to write my first two books, Coping with Schizophrenia, which I'm proud to say I'm no longer dealing with that kind of symptoms anymore. I got over that stuff. I'm not really getting sick as I was the last over 20 years. Over the last, I say, 2 to 3 or 4 years, I've been getting much better. I'm not hearing any cacophony sounds. And all I get right now is kind of a sensation throughout my body, but I can do that much more. And like I say, it's like a medical mystery how that happened, but not to get off the subject, but I'm getting much better. I'm feeling much better. I'm getting more stronger. My speech is coming back to how it was a couple of months ago. So, you know, I'm getting better in that phase of my life. Getting back to law school, I'm paying with the Grad Plus loan. Now, the Grad Plus loan is something where it's a graduate loan, but it's a loan different from regular financial aid, because regular financial aid, there's several options and several methodologies where you can if you're not able to pay it back, there's different options for not paying back financial aid. That is a regular $138,500 that each individual gets, or they're qualified to get with financial aid. The Grad Plus loan, you must pay that back. That's a loan you must pay back. If not, I don't know what the ramifications are or the repercussions, but you could get in trouble. You could get in trouble if you don't pay back that money. So that's something that you have to pay back. Going back to law school, I'm using the Grad Plus to pay that back now. I'm already up to my neck with financial aid and Grad Plus loans. So I still want to finish law school. Well, I haven't gone to law school yet, but I still want to get my law degree and be a prosecutor and ultimately be a judge. You know, I want to be an adjudicator. That's not another name for being a judge. It's called an adjudicator. It's like a mediator or a judge, you know. So, that's my ultimate goal. I want to culminate that goal probably when I'm 60 years old or so, because you have to at least study or be a lawyer for 10 years in the state of New York, which I read a little bit about it. You have to be a lawyer or in the state of New York for 10 years to at least kind of qualify to be a judge, to obtain to being an adjudicator. So that's the theory, and that's the my goal I'm looking to do, you know. So I switched. I was supposed to go to medical school and stuff like that, but I know I no longer can go to medical school because, you know, they look at medical school, they look at all three of, well, I shouldn't say three, they look at all the schools you go to, and if one of the schools you go to and that GPA is not according to the GPA they're looking for, which is a 3.0 at least is the minimum, then your chances of going to med school are real slim. And that's what happened to me because I got sick 1097, like I always mentioned, and my transcript when I went to the school in Brooklyn got kind of, how do you say it? The wheels of the bus fell off, you know, when I got sick, you know. So if I was just looking at my Capella transcript, I could say, well, you know, I had a good shot to go to medical school because they're just looking at that one transcript or they're just looking at Pace University and Capella and my transcripts are good. But when I went to the Brooklyn school and got sick, you know, that kind of hampered me from going to medical school. But like I said, Peter, if you want to ask me any questions, you're free to ask me any questions. And I'm sorry about the interruption. I'm sorry I'm talking so slow. I got interrupted twice because where I'm at, I was in the stairway where I'm at. I'm doing the show, and some guy told me that I couldn't sit down there. That's why I kind of got a little brief 10-second interruption, and another guy told me, you know, to quiet down because other people were sleeping. So that's why I kind of got interrupted a little bit. If you have any questions or you want to go to a break, you're free to do so, Peter.
Well, let's do a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networkleads.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.networkleads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized website, MLM training, Humongous blog, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
And we are back. Peter Mingles here with Devon's input. We're talking about two things. One is going into law school, and the other one is becoming a virtual assistant. I know that a lot of people that are busy running businesses are taught the value of their time and to do things that are necessary but maybe not necessarily cost-effective. Is sometimes it's better off to do something and hire a virtual assistant. So specifically, there might be a situation where you need to post to websites or your blog or maybe do different things like maybe answer emails or manage chat or do a whole bunch of things. So virtual assistant is a very wide range topic, and lots of people use virtual assistants from foreign countries. Some people use virtual assistants here from the United States. So it's good that you're going through the training, Devon, of becoming a virtual assistant. And I know that you might be in a situation where it might not be conducive to run a full radio show. So if it's okay with you, we can shut this off at just about any time because you already gave us the content that you need, and I don't want you to get, you know, annoy anybody or get anybody in trouble.
Oh, no, perfect. We can do a full show. Could we have about maybe at least 10 to 11 minutes there? So we can definitely finish the show. We can definitely finish the show.
Okay, so then in reference to being a lawyer, you know, that's a tough thing. Besides the hard work and doing the job, it's a tough profession. It's not a very easy thing. It's very complicated. And I was wondering why prosecutor as opposed to defendant, why you'd want to be a prosecutor as opposed to a defense lawyer, especially in situations where there's a lot of people that are getting off. Like, for instance, it's hard to prosecute petty crimes like shoplifting or anything else because a lot of prosecutors just let people go. And that's a tough thing. I don't know what it's like in New York now, but you read the headlines how, you know, nobody's putting people in jail for the types of crimes that they probably should be. And that's why crime is so rampant in so many different areas. So I was wondering if you thought about that.
I thought about it several times. And correct, Peter. And that's a great question. The reason why I want to be a prosecutor instead of a defense attorney is because, one, when you're a prosecutor, I think the job, well, if I'm going to, like, for say, like a criminal case, so this is a criminal case, and a prosecutor's job, I think, is much more easier than a defendant. I disagree with you there, Peter, because a defense attorney, he has a very tough position, because if it's a criminal case, and let's say his client is accused of killing 10 people, and, you know, the prosecutor, you know, the team had all the evidence go against the defendant. Now, this can happen in 40% of the cases, it can happen in 50% of the cases, it can happen in 60% of the cases. And the prosecuting team, they have all the evidence. I know it varies from case to case. Not all the cases are going to be like that where they have all the evidence, but sometimes they have all the evidence that goes against the client for the, and the defense attorney. And suppose you have them on tape. Suppose you have witnesses that saw the person did the murders. Suppose they have the DNA. They have the fingerprints. They have the They have DNA hair sample. They have the blood. You know, they have the person admitting to it, and or they have the person family say that they told him he did the crime. All that stuff goes against the defense. All that stuff goes against the defense. And the defense attorney, he has to prove that his client didn't do the murders, even though all that evidence is against them. And that's tough to prove. That's very tough. So the prosecutor, in my perspective, in my realm of thought, has a hell of a chance of winning those cases, because how are you going to prove how the defense attorney is going to prove that his client didn't do that stuff when everything's against them? Like, for example, you can say he's been caught red-handed. I mean, they have you on video, they have your DNA, they have you witnesses, like, let's say 20, 30 witnesses saw the person commit the murder. You know, purpose of the murder was somewhere in public and stuff like that. So, you know, all that stuff going against the defense attorney and his client, that's very difficult to prove they didn't do that stuff. It's very difficult. So that's one of the reasons. The second reason, like I said, a prosecutor, I always want to, you know, I'm kind of like the person who wants to see people, you know, get behind bars if they do a crime. Because like I said, I always think, you know, I always use the old proverbial saying, you did the crime, you did the time. You're the old proverbial saying. So, you know, that's the two reasons why I want to be a prosecutor rather than a defense attorney. Because I think the prosecutor team has a better chance of prosecute, like petty crime. Well, I'm not really talking about petty crimes too much. Petty crime, like you're going to a store and not paying for a Snickers bar, or you're jumping the turnstile, or you urinate in public or something like that. I'm talking about petty crime. I'm talking about like criminal, big time criminal court cases, you know, or even in the civil trial where I have to go to law school and learn about this, but I don't know if there's a prosecutor in a civil trial. I don't know, because it's in a civil trial, you're looking for money. You're looking for compensation. So, you know, you're looking to get what you're due to. It could be a wrongful death case. It could be something where you're on the job and you got sick because of COVID and stuff like that. So you want compensation for your trouble, or you getting sick, or somebody dying in your family. So that's the reason, particularly, that I want to be a prosecutor. Like I said, I don't know if there's a prosecutor in a civil trial. I'm not too sure. When I go to law school, I'll learn all that stuff. But that's the two reasons why I want to be a prosecutor instead of a defense attorney. So
makes sense. Okay, good. And then as far as virtual assistant, is there any kind of a specific kind of a virtual assistant you're working towards?
Well, I want to work for a company, because like I said, usually a virtual assistant, they're self-employed. I want to be a freelancer. So, for example, you know, I know what you're thinking. It's what you can get at the time, because I preferred the home care company I work for, you know, it's a pretty good job. But like I say, there's a lot of stress during it. They have other cases that are stressful. Like I said, today I was on a new case for the first time today. I'm supposed to work, like I mentioned before, I work Monday through Friday from 9 to 1. And the case seems real simple. But like I said, 80% of the cases are real tough. I hurt myself. I got injured about 4 weeks ago, Peter, when I was using are you familiar with a Hoya lift is?
A what?
A Hoya lift.
No.
Okay, a Hoya lift is something, is a machine where the patient is bedridden and is a machine to take the person out of bed and put them into a wheelchair. Now, the machine has a bar handle, you know, like you're going to a gym and you're pressing weights, and it has the handle that you stroke back and forth to lift up the weights, you know, those type of hands.
Sure.
It has. And what happened, it has straps on it. So the person is bedridden in the bed. They don't get out of bed, and you have to put the straps on the person. It's a lot of work. My ex-sister-in-law was doing the Hoya lift almost the same time I was doing the Hoya lift. She worked as a home health aide also, and she told me she hurt her stomach doing that stuff also. So you have to be very careful how you use the Hoya lift because, but anyway, what happened was I hurt myself because a Hoya lift is something where if you don't bend the right way or you don't know how to maneuver yourself, you're going to get injured. You know, you're going to get injured. And that's what happened to me. I got injured a little bit. And what happened, you have to lift up the patient. And the Hoya lift lifts up the patient with straps. Now, the Hoya lift can manage like up to like, I'm guessing, I think I learned this in school, like 700 to 800 pounds. So even if the person weighs 450, 500 pounds, you can still lift for the person with that device, with that machine. And it carries the person, it has wheels at the bottom, and you wheel the person out, and the person's on straps. The person's on straps, and he's lifted, and it's probably maybe a couple of feet away from the wheelchair, and you put the person in the wheelchair, and you lower the machine, and you crank it, you lower it, and you put the person in the wheelchair, and you have to come back and put the person back on the Hoya to carry him back to his bed where he can sleep or just relax. So it's very difficult. But like I said, virtual assistant, getting back to the point, virtual assistant, I may want to be just a freelancer. I want to work for a specific company. I know companies already. I did my due diligence, Peter. I know companies already who I want to work for as a virtual assistant. So I have about two or three companies in mind that I want to work for after I finish. Now, I can finish the virtual assistant program. I go to Penn Foster. So Penn Foster is a very good school. So I go to Penn Foster, and I can finish the virtual assistant within, I would say, 2 to 3 months. You have a year to finish, but it's not free, Peter. You know, I pay for it monthly.
Sure.
So, you know,
sure.
I can finish the first person in 2 to 3 months. Now, like I said, it's difficult to get good jobs, you know. Like I said, you know, a lot of people are struggling to find good jobs and stuff like that. You know, right now, I don't know what's going on with the economy and stuff like that, but a lot of people are struggling to find homes. A lot of people are struggling to find good-paying jobs. So I don't know if the economy is in a bad shape or not, or they're just not mentioning it on television or the radio or the newspapers. Or I don't really know what's going on with the economic, I don't know, situation of New York or over the United States or over the world. But like I said, it's a tough time. But like I said, Peter, just to wrap up what I was telling you about law school, you know, I'm just going to take it very slowly and what I'm doing with the virtual assistant, like I said, I'm not really reading through. I'm just skimping through the virtual assistant. I'm not really reading stuff, but I have to take notes, you know, and that's what I'm going to do. I just have to plan out my strategy a little bit better, take notes. I want to take the tests are on time. So it's like 20 question tests, you know. And like I said, 26 tests. I took 4 already. I passed 3 out of 4. I should have passed all 4. But like I said, you know, It's something. It's something. It's not the best job, but it's something, you know, to do in the meantime. And
sure.
With law school, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm just kind of excited because, like I said, I didn't think 15, 20 years ago I would be going to law school. I wouldn't even think 15, 20 years ago I wouldn't even think about becoming a medical doctor. I didn't think about that stuff because I wasn't into my schoolwork, you know, while I was in high school, the first part of college, I wasn't into my schoolwork. So everything just came up, you know, like the last 12, 15 years where I got interested in my studies, and I tried to be the best student as possible. So you can say I'm a late bloomer or stuff like that, but, you know, I tried my best. But like I said, Peter, I'll be on next week to do another show. And like I said, with law school, I'm just trying to be the best that I can be. And, you know, I'll take it from there and we'll see what happens.
Excellent. Okay, perfect. Well, thanks for being here, Devon. We'll let you go back to whatever you're working on for those people listening in. You just heard from Devon's input. You can catch us on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Thanks, Devon. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.